Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Tired of nicks, cuts, and bumps? It's time to ditch the blade. Nair, the award-winning number one hair removal brand, gives you silky, smooth skin in as little as 3 minutes. That's smooth that lasts for days longer than shaving. Easy to use, blade-free, dermatologist tested, and made for all skin types. Plus, discover our new sensational fragrances that turn hair removal into a whole vibe. Shave less, glow more. Find Nair at all major retailers.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
On this episode of Project Big Screen, we have Christopher Nolan rankings his best characters. Best characters. We're also talking about the Dune 3 trailer, the trailer for Tom Cruise movie Digger, and then two reviews, Evil Dead, Burn, and the Moana live action re-rake. Oh boy. All that and more coming up on Project Big Screen. All right, Project Big Screen, the penultimate pre-Odyssey episode, they're saying. Oh yeah. Before the big show.
Let's go. This is our fucking week. Hold on, I can't hear you. Yeah,
can't hear Gooch.
Yeah, I don't hear Gooch. Do you hear Gooch?
I don't hear Gooch either.
They trying to. Oh, I thought they were trying to silence me.
All right.
Okay.
Now I can talk about how fucking woke and DEI bullshit. Like, finally we get past it.
I'm not seeing the Odyssey. I'm offended by it. It's not for me.
Which part offended you the most?
Next week.
Which part offended you the most?
All of it.
All of it?
I don't even like that. I'm so woke. I don't like that a white guy's playing in the lead role.
There we go. Hell yeah.
Being ultimate level woke. Like, they're not speaking Greek. Are you kidding me?
Expectations are being tempered. It's like it's a little scary how much it's being praised for me. So I'm trying to just like, I feel like this makes it sound like we have superpowers. We don't. I feel like you guys probably agree. The more we do this like type of show and like review things, I feel like you eventually like kind of learn to like not let it impact your viewing, where it's like, oh man, like I let myself get too hyped. I feel like you get better with that over time. Mm-hmm. But this one's creeping into like I should almost stop listening territory.
Dude, I went to AMC Lincoln Square yesterday for our doubleheader of two just wonderful movies we're about to review.
Yep.
And they have the largest red carpet premiere I've ever seen set up at that theater. It is huge. They have like three blocks cut off.
I mean, they have a gigantic Trojan, like life-size Trojan horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're like setting up a theme park out front. Like, it's
crazy.
Insane. Yeah, no, it's...
I'm going Thursday. I hope it's still up there.
I would imagine it's going to be there for at least a week.
You going with us to like 10 o'clock p.m.? Yeah, that's right.
So you guys are all seeing it at Lincoln Square in New York,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, 10 p.m. showing for us.
Yeah. I'm seeing it.
The 3 a.m. showing is like sold out.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it 7 a.m. Saturday.
Yep. You're going 7 a.m.
Saturday? Seeing it.
Yeah.
So we always have this one trip we go on, this one weekend trip. And the last couple of years, it's always been on a big release weekend. It was on fucking Oppenheimer a couple of years ago. And it got shifted and changed, but the date changed for the big movie. So now I'm still on this trip. I'm seeing it at the Jordan's Furniture in Boston.
At the what?
Yes. There's a furniture wars in New England. And they each try to one-up each other with different exciting things they can have at their furniture stores.
Yeah,
and Jordan's has a giant IMAX.
It's legit, right? Like it's like a real good IMAX.
That's my understanding. I've never seen anything there.
No, I don't like that. There is a new website. There used to be one called Limax, but now there's like a new website that you can go to, and you type in your zip code. And it'll show you the screen size comparison around you.
I think it's a legit screen.
Should have debuted.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I think it is pretty big.
Should have premiered Backrooms there. That would have been like an obvious hit. Why did they do that?
Right. Yeah, all the furniture.
I wonder if they sell the IMAX seats there, the least comfortable seats in America. These seats are kind of very similar to the.
Very similar. The seats we're in currently are very similar to IMAX seats in the radio room here. Very similar.
Yeah, I wish I was going to that one. I saw Oppenheimer there, famously with Clemmer, but not really because we weren't there together. But it is. If you have a chance to go to New York and see that theater, it is pretty unbelievable. So yeah, that is next week. We will be doing a Christopher Nolan theme list this week. We're going to be doing top 10 characters, which there's definitely some differences, like big time. My list might get some criticism. One movie dominated my list, but we'll see.
Wonder which one that could be.
It could be. But
it's an interesting discussion about characters too, because there is also one very common theme with Christopher Nolan characters.
What, they all have penises?
Yes. I was like, holy shit.
Particular.
Yeah, it's not like intentionally. Like, it's like, oh,
you're right, what you know.
Like, I can think of someone challenged us, like there's a lot of dudes in this list. They're like, you didn't put any women. I'd be like, I want you to make a Christopher Nolan character list. Mm-hmm. Not a criticism of Nolan. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I'm very excited for The Odyssey. I think we all are. So I'm trying to zone it out a little bit. It's like, it's crazy the reaction so far. People are like, I was in fucking, one guy's like, I was in tears for half the movie. It's like, holy shit. Okay. All right. We'll see. But to bring everything down, we're going to talk Moana and Evil Dead Burn. Though I'll put a caveat, one of those some people seem to like. Mm. So we'll start out with the Disney live action movie. Because I don't even think you need to see it to hear us talk about this. It's Moana. They decided to make... So Moana came out in 2016. They decided to make a Disney Plus series. There was a very infamous Investors Day, like during COVID era announcement, where they all went on like a screen and they announced all these projects which haven't happened and some won't ever happen. Like it's like Kevin Feige, like Armor Wars coming soon. Nope. They're like Taika Waititi's Star Wars movie. Nope. And then one of them was Moana 2 or Moana live act, Moana series, excuse me, for Disney Plus, which they ended up turning into Moana 2. Some of the behind the scenes about that series are actually kind of funny. You listen to like the people who made it. They're like, yeah, we watched all the episodes together. And we're like, oh, there could be something here. Like, that's not very confident. Mm-hmm. But then they decided they'd announce Moana live action, which there's a pretty big distinction between this and the other Disney live actions. The fact that the gap between Lion King and Lion King live action, it was generations of it was a whole generation of a kid. Moana, the kids who like Moana are still watching Moana.
Still kids. Oh, yeah.
They're still kids. So they made a live-action Moana. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the lead of the film, I believe. That's like, or he's billed that way.
Yeah, he's top billed. But like Marlon Brando was top billed in Superman.
Yeah, he's top billed, yes. But I don't think he was for the animated movie. I could be wrong, though. Yeah. He plays Maui. He was the animated voice. Not much to say on that yet. Catherine Laga'ai, probably didn't say that right, plays Moana. She is not the person who voiced the character in 2016. Some other voices, Jermaine Clement. He reprised his role as the big fucking crab. Does everyone like Moana?
I've never seen it.
You don't like cartoons and shit, so I do feel like...
Yeah, I'd never seen Moana, the original, so this is my first interaction with Moana.
Really good music.
Really like the original.
Music was good, yeah. Music was good in this movie.
True, because it is the same.
Best part of the movie, by far.
Yeah, How Far I'll Go is a great song. I think You're Welcome is a great song as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is just a fucking remake of Moana in live action. It did not do well at the box office compared to how much it cost.
No.
I don't think it bombed as heavy as people thought it might.
Pretty bad.
It bombed,
Snow White.
I thought it was gonna do a little worse than this too, because I thought this was gonna be like world ending bad, but it's still not great. Worldwide total of $95 million, $250 million budget. Could lose between $100 and $125 million. I think it should have no legs.
No, I'm not sure.
It is fairly lifeless.
Oh.
Also nippleless.
Nippleless, that's right. Correct.
Directed by Thomas Kail, who directed Hamilton's movie, the Hamilton movie on Disney Plus, which is
that's just
there's directing involved with that, yeah. but
that's,
it's, you know, I don't know, Clemmer, you're more of the Broadway aficionado.
I mean Hamilton's fine. I like it. I had no real reason to watch the movie. You know, I've seen it on stage, so I didn't really have
right.
No
if you've
to
seen
watch.
It, it's yes. like
it. I mean, Hamilton's fine.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I don't know. This it's Moana. If you've seen the Moana animated, you know what you're getting with this. Nothing really new here. What did you give it, Clemmer? I'll start with you since you haven't seen the original.
Oh, I don't know, man. I'll say 38. This is like, it's soulless. It's a soulless movie. And I think the biggest story here, the biggest takeaway is Disney's doing themselves a real disservice here. They're making all of these live action remakes for the money grab. I mean, you could feel the money grab on the screen. It's like, oh, all right, like there's nothing original or creative here. You just want more of my dollars. But the thing is, I think they're really ostracizing an entire generation of kids. So, like, we all grew up with, every generation has their own Disney movies they grew up with, right? Like, you guys have, like, Lilo and Stitch, I think, are you're probably closer with, maybe, I don't know. I know some people talk about that.
Mostly the 90s stuff, I would say, for us.
And late
90s.
We got spoiled, yeah.
Sure, like, but for, like, you know, Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and that stuff for, you know, people my age. Everyone has their own generation of stuff that they gravitate to.
Mm-hmm.
Disney seems to be not doing that with this generation. So now they're gravitating to things like K-pop Demon Hunters and like other original things that are for them. This isn't for them. This is for like their parents to get a nostalgia rush or this. I don't know what this is even. This is for nobody. But like, I think 20 years from now, Disney might have themselves in a rough spot where they kind of ignored creating new things for an entire generation, which is kind of shocking and not really their business model. But this movie is soulless. It's like when Quint says, you know, a shark has like dead eyes, you know, like a doll's eyes. This movie is the equivalent of like a doll's eyes. It's like deadness inside. No one wants to be there. You can feel no one wants to be like, no one wants to like make this movie. It's totally unnecessary. And when it's over, you're just, it's a time like you'll be in your deathbed one day and be like, oh man, I wish I had that hour and a half back. I watched the remake of Moana that no one wanted to make and was completely worthless. So yeah, so it's the worst thing a movie can be. It's pointless. It's even worse than a bad movie because it's just so irrelevant.
Mm. Yeah, it's sorry, what'd you give a score wise?
38.
Yeah, it's yeah. I don't know why. I know why they did this, again, for the quick buck. But, like, even though the other ones haven't all hit, and we like some of them to varying degrees. You know, Ken Jack and I particularly like the Beauty and the Beast remake to a certain extent. You can justify it. It's 30 years, right, in between. It's X amount of time. I get that. This one is just, like, this is madness to do this 10 years after it came out.
But why aren't they making stuff for kids now? Why aren't they making new stuff?
Yep.
What's the last new Disney? I'm sure I'm forgetting. I don't watch something. But, like, what are the last, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Little Mermaid? When are they going to have a run like
that? Onward.
You get what I'm saying, though, right? Like, a Disney person could sit down and make the argument that, like, yeah, but we're giving Lion King a refresh. I'd be like, I get that.
I don't. I think remakes suck. I think it's a waste of everybody's time.
No, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's good, but, like,
there's a value add. Yeah,
I understand it more for the older ones. The new one doesn't make sense because there's still a lot of them are still kids who watched it when they first saw it. So you're not like isn't Moana for a new generation. Like you can make the argument. I don't agree with it that it's Lion King for a new generation. This is just Moana. Again, it's the same thing again 10 years later. It's like,
Does Lion King need a new generation? Like, it's not like it's cartoons age really well. I mean, it's kind of the award.
No, I'm not saying it does. No, I agree with you. I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying, like, you could at least, like, hammer me down and, like, be like, just listen, this is why. I'd be like, okay, fine, whatever. This one is just.
I see that, I guess.
This one's too, like, this is pure madness.
And we're excited, too, because, like, at least with Lion King, it's like, hey, we're doing new technology. We have, like, this new sort of CGI look on the lines. Like, yeah, it looks cool. And we have this big voice cast. Beyonce's doing a voice. Like, all that stuff. At least there is a value add, right? There is something, like, we're propositioning you with something slightly different. And this does not have that at all. I think that's a big difference there.
Those made sense financially. Like you could see why they would put those out because there was money to be made. There is no money to be made off this. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. You say 20 years, it'll look rough for them down the road. I think it's going to come a lot sooner than that because this has been 10 years now of just stretching the company too thin, way too thin. with Disney Plus, and you can feel it. They're stretched in creatively, production-wise, everything is looking like shit.
Oh.
Like, it's just, they need to rein it in, and I get they have shareholders. I get they're a massive company. They need to keep pushing products out and keep churning, but holy fuck, the product is getting murdered right now.
To Clemmer's point, though, it's like, look, you could also make the argument to me, and I'd listen, that like it is harder to get new IP off the ground than it used to be. Fine. But there are examples of that not being fully the case. K-pop Demon Hunters is a great example of that. Like, you can make something wholly original and still have it fucking pop off. I understand it's harder now. I understand that maybe you can't take 7 swings a year, but there is proof that it can work. So fucking, you're Disney, try it.
Like, exactly. Try it. You're Disney. Mm-hmm. Like, you are the biggest media company in the world. The most talented people in the world have, for generations, come to you to want to work with you. It shouldn't be this hard to figure out. They should not have a stretch this bad ever in their company's history. This has been a really fucking bad stretch. Mm-hmm. This movie stinks, by the way. My score, I'd give it a 20. I was 30 minutes in, and once I realized that it was a 1-for-1 remake and like it was just a poor 1-for-1, I was like, should I just get up and leave? Because I know what's going to happen here. I know the songs.
Yeah,
I know
it's everything. Like,
I don't know why I was sitting there. Like, the movie ended, and I was like, why did I not leave?
Mm-hmm. If you said, hey, like, do you mind if I like get up and leave? I'd be like, just give yourself 10 minutes of The Rock just so you can experience it.
Yeah.
Just so you can. Yeah.
Why was the CGI so bad?
It looks terrible.
The animals look so bad.
Yeah.
It was like, we don't
care about by the way, this is Moana. We don't care about spoilers.
10 years old. There's nothing new. You're not going to miss anything.
I was stunned how bad it looked. Like, because Disney, I just expect more. I was just, like, stunned. Like, Lilo and Stitch came out last year. That was a good-looking movie. That also was more entertaining. I was much more entertained by Lilo and Stitch than I was this.
You know what really cracked me up was the You're Welcome performance, and then they start showing, like, cartoons and shit.
I know!
Like, yeah.
I was like, wait a second.
That's the fucking point. Yeah.
I
did the same
wait
thing.
Wait a second.
What are we doing?
It better be like, no. If we're doing live action, this shit better all be in camera. Don't be showing me cartoons. You already have that.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was crazy. I couldn't believe that. Yeah, I gave it a 27. It's terrible. It looks so bad. It looks wrong. Like, it just looks like it's a tough character to do live action. It's a big, the original is a big Chungus. Like, he looks like, what's his face?
Meatball.
Yeah. He's just a big guy. He's like, he's got the same, Maui's got the similar build to, Kingpin in Spider-Verse, right? Like, he's this big,
yeah.
And The Rock is a big dude. Credit to him, really strong, ripped man, but it still doesn't translate. It just doesn't look or feel, and the hair doesn't work.
Dude, the guy that played
the wig just
he
doesn't.
Looks like he's resting up his Troy Polamalu for Halloween.
Yeah, it
doesn't work, man. It does. It just doesn't work.
The guy that played her dad would have been a better fit.
He would have.
Would have absolutely been a better Moana, in my opinion. Anyway. But yeah, I'm like right where you are, Jeff. I'm at a 30 out of 100. And I think, like, so when we reviewed Toy Story 5, just to kind of keep this like sort of in-house, I kind of laid out like what I thought these sort of movies, like reimaginings, remakes, all these things, like they need to clear a certain bar. And like we all know, like we were just saying, like these are money grabs. They're all money grabs. Like they have to be money grabbed by default. But at the same time, like you need to have some sort of like creativeness to yourself to make us believe in you, that you have a soul, that you have a creative purpose. And this does not do that, especially just zero creative at the meta level whatsoever. The intent here is purely let's make money, but I think they completely missed the mark here. And I think, at least to me, the creative sort of criticism comes down to 3 levels. It's just the lack of creative vision. It's like you're just doing, you don't want to rock the boat. It's boring. It's, and we're coming from animation where the creativity, right, you're only limited by your own imagination in animation. You need to do something new in live action because you have so many limits in live action, and they don't do that. Shooting this in backlots in Atlanta should get you shot to death.
Yeah.
Like, to death. You are Disney. Go fucking send these people to Polynesia. Send them to an island. Rent out a whole fucking resort for 3 months and shoot it there. Shooting this
on Backlash should get you put down like a sick dog. And I really fucking pissed me off watching that. And I just don't feel The Rock, like you guys are just mentioning, The Rock was a bad fit. A really bad fit as Moana, which is weird to say because he voiced him. But he just does not have that jovial, comedic Disney delivery in live action, which you need. And he doesn't have it. And I really think, like I was saying before, I think the guy who played her dad, give him Moana. Give one of these other people who have, like, a happiness to them, let them play Moana, because he just didn't have it. So I think it's kind of hard to grade, but it's just, when you're making a shot-for-shot remake that's not in the same stratosphere as the original, I don't know what to do with you. Like, if your purpose is to distract kids, I don't even think it accomplishes that, because the kids in my theater, they're all calling out what's going to happen before it happens. None of them are engaged. They're all sitting there like, hey, here, the crab's coming right now. And it's like, they all know what's happening, because they already watched this movie, like, very recently. Like, they were alive when it came out. So, like, it just...
yeah.
They're just, you're not engaging kids, you're not engaging adults, you're not engaging anybody, and it's just like, what's the point here? You're not even giving, like, a creative vision, you're not going out and shooting this in any, like, a Polynesian spot. Like, it's just really, it's just a frustrating movie. Very frustrating. So sticking at a 30 out of 100, because other parts of it are, to a degree, competently made.
Ugh. Ken Jack stood up and yelled chicken jockey during this movie.
You fucking may as well have, dude.
Yeah, it's... One of the 5-year-olds in my theater was like, Mom, why didn't we go see Obsession? I want to see Obsession now.
I not to be a big Rock hater, but if I actually have a theory, if this was really good, if this looked great, if the actress was unbelievable, if the performances, the music, if everything was perfect, I still think I would have disliked it because he's so distracting. Mm. He is so fucking distracting in this movie that I can't even my brain can't wrap around it. Like, I can't look at him in this movie. It freaks me out. It's weird.
Why did he not have nipples? Why did he not have nipples?
Great question.
Like, what was the thing?
I didn't even notice that. I don't know what that says about me.
I only noticed it because someone brought it up on Twitter, and someone was like,
the whole movie, I didn't notice.
Someone, like, tried to post, like, some bullshit idea that, like, Disney doesn't allow nipples in their movies, which is not true because the dad has nipples in this movie.
Is it because he's a demigod? And then maybe.
Yes, but, like, why the fuck would you run with that? Because once I noticed, I was like, where the fuck are this man's nipples?
He does have them in the animated.
Oh, yes. Then why not here?
Man, nipples are...
Like, now, they're not easy to see, but I'm looking at him. He's got them. I'm looking at him.
I couldn't spot them at all.
That's Silicon Valley joke.
I saw this on the IMAX screen. Awful.
I'll say something positive. I like this more than Snow White.
Yeah.
Snow White was worse than this.
I'd agree with that. But that's also like...
Yeah, I mean, that's a very low bar.
Stoppable force versus movable object. Yeah. Gal Gadot versus The Rock in these roles, very much so.
And also, yeah, and they made the dwarves like after school special.
Yeah, thank Peter Dinklage for that.
Dopey. So at least they didn't do that, I guess. I don't know. This stinks.
I'll also say one more thing on these live action movies. The animated movies have a full understanding. These animators have a full understanding of Broadway musicals, musical theater history, and what choreography should look like when you're watching a movie. These live action movies, every single musical set piece comes out looking like shit. They focus way too much on close-ups, on the characters. Mm. There's no big, and this is kind of all musicals right now. None of them look great, except for the one made by Steven Spielberg 5 years ago. But, like, where's the choreography? That is such a huge part. These big musical set pieces are such a huge part of these movies. And it's like an afterthought when you get to them in these live actions. I don't know. It's so strange. They got to quit making these also. Like, yeah. I know we're saying that this is flopping, and a large part of that is because there is no built-in nostalgia for something that came out 10 years ago. But I also think audiences they're wising up. General audiences have wised up to these things, and they know they're not really worth
it. Yeah, I mean, people are bored of it, and which is that's how it works. Like. If it's mediocre quality, people are going to get bored, and people have gotten bored of them.
So we've had four. We've had four now in the last year and a half, right? Three by Disney and one by DreamWorks. How to Train a Dragon made a ton of money.
Oh yeah,
it was like pretty well made. Lilo and Stitch made a shitload of money. That was pretty well made. Snow White and Moana stunk, and they both tanked hard. So like, I think it might. I don't know. Our audiences, why? I don't know. Maybe they are. Or maybe just staying away from the bad ones. I don't know.
The Lilo one is
my only. Yeah, my only issue with Snow White is also, I think Lilo and Stitch hit a pretty good nostalgia window where, like, is there nostalgia for Snow White? I don't know.
No, it's so old. Like,
yeah.
Same thing with Dumbo. Like, it's just too old.
Dumbo's a great
comic. Yeah. And also, Snow White had a lot of very public, like,
other problems.
This stinks, which might be. So, I don't know. You're right. I don't. The jury could be out on that. Maybe if one comes out next year and it's, like, decent, it makes a lot of money. I don't know. What do they have in the works?
And I don't even know what DreamWorks said they want to do more of them too, and I don't know what they have lined up either, to be honest with you.
Live action Shrek.
The director of the How to Train Dragon, the animated movie, I believe directed the remake,
right,
which I think is also a big part of it, like under being able to understand your property at that, like, microscope or cellular level is maybe part of it, but I don't know.
So they have Lilo and Stitch 2 coming out in 2028.
That'll
and then
well.
They have TBD on Tangled. Oh, you know, fucking Zachary Levi is like, please.
he's on the set of some Angel Studios movie right now.
Yeah.
Please, please.
You want to talk about a movie that's had some terrible live action fan castings over the years? Fucking Tangled.
Tangled.
Yeah.
As the main girl. This is Rapunzel.
Hercules, which the Russo brothers have been involved with for what feels like almost 10 years now. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, actually, it is. It is. It's like, it's we're nearing like 8 years on this. Guy Ritchie's supposed to direct it.
He did the Aladdin. Yeah.
You could do like Hunchback, right? You could do
the Gaston centered movie.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Cruella sequel.
Cruella's like, I think out of all the live action remakes, I think Cruella's probably the best, but that's because it had something original to say.
Why don't they just make new movies though?
That too.
Why doesn't Disney just make new cartoons?
Have you seen the Cruella one?
No.
The Cruella one's good. It's like one, original.
Like, yeah, it's like wholly original.
It's within the scope of, obviously, 101 Dalmatians, but it's completely otherwise original.
Just make new cartoons, though.
That's
what Disney's supposed to do.
Preaching
it's
to the choir.
It's about time for the Ichabod Crane live action.
Ichabod Crane. What's that Fox?
Well, I know Ken Jack's been asking for Song of the South.
Angel Studios has the rights on that, unfortunately.
Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, yeah.
They sold that one off.
Yeah, so this was really bad. There is technically a live action Ichabod Crane movie.
I think I'm starring in that one.
Tim Burton made it.
Yeah, with what's his name? Johnny Depp. Yeah.
So I guess technically there is that. Live action Cars.
Like, how do you, like, what's the point? You can't do it. What's the fucking point of a talking car? Like, so stupid.
I think Pixar is pretty good about making sure they're like, yeah, you're not going to do this with our stuff. We'll see. Could be wrong, but let's hope so.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. This was bad.
Live action Toy Story will be the line, I think, for people. That'll be there eventually.
I actually wish I would have liked to have gone into this without expectations and just seen how shocked I was throughout.
Yeah.
Because, like, none of it surprised me, but I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? It's like, holy shit.
The water special effects, like when the water would be like sentient, it looked about as good as the sentient water in The Abyss.
As I was saying,
1988.
The Abyss,
40 years old.
Abyss, miles ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not even being sarcastic.
Oh,
like effects wise.
Effects wise.
Yeah. Effects wise, I think Abyss, like, has this, like, glapped.
Mm-hmm.
This, the water looked horrible. Those CGI animals, I know I keep going back to it, they were dreadful.
Yeah. You would think, like, too, like, they have access to whatever James Cameron was doing. Like, you might just be like, hey, you want to, like, send those specialists over to us for a bit?
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. Nope.
Yeah, I did a rewatch for Abyss a couple years ago. I couldn't believe how well. I don't think the movie has some issues, but the effects hold up so well.
I still like that movie, The Ambiotic Fluid. Oh, I love that scene.
Love
so
movie.
Good, but I'm a big Jimmy C fan in general. So,
that's that.
Happening here.
That's Moana. Not good. I would. I don't know if you want to go to the theater. I guess take your kid to go see it. But
see what else is out that's good.
This movie out that's good.
I haven't seen Toy Story yet. I'm seeing it this week.
Minions. I liked Minions.
Minions. Oh no, Minions was good. Go
see Minions or Toy Story. If you got to make a choice, go see Minions or Toy Story.
Minions is good. Go see Minions.
Got a Paw Patrol movie coming soon. You got plenty of stuff for
not kids. For a while though. We had a stretch of three kids movies in a row, and there won't be another one until August 14th.
Okay.
So this was kind of the
Spider-Man is.
Well, I mean, like directly for kids.
Yeah.
PG.
30-90 split Rotten Tomatoes for Moana. Not good. Next up. Evil Dead Burn. Here's our review for Evil Dead Burn. Another Evil Dead movie. This franchise has been going on for 40 years. Anyone here a big fan of this franchise?
I like the Raimi ones, but like almost don't even consider what came out.
I like Raimi as well. Just I wouldn't say I'm a big Evil Dead fan.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
These are not for me. It's the gore for the sake of gore. It's not for me.
I liked the previous one.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Still have not seen that one.
I haven't. Solid.
Evil Dead Rise?
Yeah, I still haven't seen that one.
From Lee Cronin? I liked it quite a bit. Yeah. And I like the Evil Dead. I like Army of Darkness. The Fede Alvarez one, the reboot or whatever in 2013, could go either way on that. But this new one, Evil Dead Burn, from Sebastian Vanacek, who did a 2023 movie called Infested. It is a French horror movie. Is now doing the next movie in the next line of standalone films after Evil Dead 2013, Evil Dead Rise, which again, very well liked. Sam Raimi back producing this one, didn't produce the last one, but did produce this one. Rotten Tomatoes split on this is 71-81. Evil Dead Burn on Letterboxd. I've seen some positives, like 70s range, like 3.5 stars. After the loss of her husband, woman seeks solace with her in-laws as one by one they transform into dead-eyed. She comes to discover that the vows she took in life survive even in death. So yeah, this is being positively received by fans of the franchise, it seems. Maybe not to the level of the last one. What did you think about a Ken Jack Evil Dead Burn?
Yeah, I think like it's good to qualify. I'm glad you did ahead of time. Just like I think part of it depends on how big of a fan you are of Evil Dead. But I think it's almost hard to evaluate this movie because it doesn't feel like a horror movie that's too attached to Evil Dead. It feels like it's just sort of a horror movie that is an okay horror movie, but really does not have much to do with the original Evil Dead movies outside of like some lore points because it doesn't feel the same. And I think part of that is just the difference of Raimi, which you could feel in the last one too, but the last one I feel is a little more at least concrete, both visually and like in theme. This one, I think the aspects they have in it, the idea they have of it, like of being stuck in a house with like, and this isn't spoilers, being stuck in a house with like your abuser dead husband's family. Like there's something, a really interesting story that could be told with that, dramatically speaking, could be really interesting. But I don't think it's used to its maximum here with horror. I don't think that was a good fit. And the gore and stuff that they have and the kills and deaths and all that stuff is definitely shocking. But it's nothing super, like, I don't know, I need to go to the theater to make sure I see this. But I'm also not that type of person. We're people, I think all four of us, that hate, like, Terrifier and think these movies, those sort of movies are pointless. I'm not going to a movie theater for gore. I'm going for, can you put out something, like, an interesting story? Can you put together some cool characters, some really good acting? Something like Obsession, whatever. This, I don't think, is anything really close to that. It's just sort of like an okay horror movie that's using the name of Evil Dead to cash in on IP. So, I don't know. Not really for me. I'm at a 60 out of 100. Solid movie. Not one I would rush to the theaters to see, even if I was like, especially maybe if I was the world's biggest Evil Dead fan. But like you were saying, Jeff, people seem to like it a lot. So, I mean, credit to them.
Yeah, this one didn't work for me. This one, I actually like really, really disliked this. Is it terrible in comparison to some other things like Moana? Maybe not, but I don't even have it that much higher. 44 out of 100 for me. I really did not have a good time with this. There's a lane with Evil Dead where this is probably the most violent one. And if you don't like gore and you don't like whatever, like this ain't it for you.
Yeah, sadistic is the
right. Very cruel. Sadistic.
Yeah,
it's too nasty.
Yeah,
but there's a level with the Evil Dead movies where it almost always hits a point where it's so over the top and there's humor involved that like you can kind of like oh okay, like there's this mix where it makes it palatable. Now if you're someone who's likes the straight gore and doesn't care and likes, like you said, sadistic, like sure. For me, it didn't have any of that nuance and it just made it, like you said, Clemmer, kind of nasty and just like wrong, and I just didn't like it. I just didn't like it. Didn't work for me. Like it didn't have that kind of like charm, which is that evil charm that some of the other ones have, where it's like, okay, this is over the top, but I can kind of fuck with it more because there is a little bit of a like a humor element. There's a feeling of self-acknowledgement and awareness that it's over the top, where this one like gets pretty like serious in spots. And for that, that just doesn't work for me. Yeah, and I really liked the last one. Evil Dead Rise I thought was fantastic. The Evil Dead Burn, nah, not so much. Not, which, like, I'll put the caveat, this isn't my bag typically, but I do like a bunch of the Evil Dead movies, so maybe it is in a sense. I just think they, Sebastian Vanacek just didn't find the right lane here, at least for me, mm-hmm. for why these usually do work. So 44 out of 100. Climber, what'd you give it?
Yeah, I hated this. And
yeah, very fair. I saw your review on Letterboxd. I think nothing you, I agreed kind of with everything you said.
Yeah, I'm at 24 for this. I really hated this. Now, I will say this off the bat. I am not a fan of Evil Dead. Like, I rewatched the first one. I hadn't seen it in a million years before I watched this one. Like, I just don't like these movies. But at least, like you said, Jeff, the first one, you know, the one way back in the early 80s with Raimi. Raimi's brilliance is on screen at times, which is fun. And then it is more goofy. And you're right. By the end, the gore is kind of played more for laughs. And you can kind of, it's not my cup of tea, but you can kind of see where he's going with it. With this, it's competently made. So I don't want to say that. And if you love gore, there are some, like, interesting shots of gore. But this just felt mean. Like, they just kill a dog. And it's like, it's...
That's a Clemmer number one no-no, by the way.
Well, I mean, you can, it's, there's also, I'm not going to give any spoilers. If you go watch the post-credits, there's even, like, a worse thing they do. It's like, you
there's
just...
a post-credit?
I didn't watch post-credit.
Oh, yeah.
Either.
Yeah. They it's just... They're doing it to, like, shock value. It's like, oh, you won't correct. Believe who we're going to kill next. Like, we'll do this because it's someone who's, like, so vulnerable, so helpless, and we're going to kill them just to show how mean and nasty we are. It just felt very, like... sophomoric in a way, like it just felt mean and cruel and just a nastiness to it. Like I said, it's competently made, and if you love gore, maybe go see it. And it might just not be for me, and maybe I'm old and I'm soft, but I really had a distaste for this film. And as far as movies that are competently made, I don't know if I'll see too many worse ones this year. For me,
it what you just said is it really felt like it was there for the sake of being there, the gore and the craziness and the over the top. There's some animal stuff in here too. I've never felt that with the other Evil Dead movies, even the ones maybe I don't like as much as the others. Like, it always felt like a purpose, and it felt like it was part of, and it is part of the story here, but it also kind of felt like it was part of the vibe of the franchise that it's put off since the beginning, since the Sam Raimi days. And I never felt that here.
No, it feels closer to, honestly, like a bad Saw sequel, especially in the way it looks, the gray drabness.
Oh, so gray.
So ugly. And, like, even getting past the fact that, like, obviously Sam Raimi's not directing these things anymore, which is a shame because I think, like, he's just the perfect fit. Obviously, he created it himself. Like, his sensibility just lines up with what I want to see out of this kind of movie. But even here, getting past the direction, getting past the way it looks and the kills that I thought were just... They're gory, but are they, like, even all that creative and interesting to see on screen or terrifying? Not really. They're just kind of gross.
There's a couple, like, creative.
I like
things,
I kind of like the opening one with the fishing line, but outside of that, but the thing that really bothers me here is, like, the performances, I think, are just not good.
Oh,
really,
stale.
Really bad. And it's.
Yeah, they're not good.
In the earlier Evil Dead movies, when they get possessed by the Deadites, like, they're not delivering these, like, evil villain monologues. They're like high school bullies. Like, they just say, like, the meanest things that they can think of, and it's pretty fucking funny sometimes. It's funny. Like, when they're possessed in those early movies, there's, like, a comedy element to it, which is completely lost here.
You know what? Completely. You know what it reminds you of, and this might be, I don't know if this is a bad analogy, it's almost like the Evil Dead movies are in, like, a sitcom where, like, the husband's making fun of the wife, like, married with children, like, that type of thing. And then this is like watching, like, Revolutionary Road. Where it's like you were saying, like, just cruel, mean, gross, disgusting things. I'm not having fun. And that's just not in the spirit of Evil Dead. It's in the spirit of something else. Like, it's in the spirit of Terrifier. If this was, like, a Terrifier sequel, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, this it feels very not attached to the mainline franchise, at least to me.
No, it does not. I'm at a 35 out of 100, by the way. Yeah. Not a good day at the movies.
No, this is a rough weekend.
Fuck you.
Yeah, this, if you, I don't know, like... I always hesitate on stuff like this, and this has been the case since we started doing this podcast 10 years ago. I mean, Ken, Jack, and I, we've never been into shit like this.
Yeah.
But again, I was thinking about it. I was driving back from an appointment this morning. I was kind of thinking about, like, what are my points on this? And I was like thinking it out in the car, and I was like, kind of what we just said, like, not my thing, not my, but I'm like, but the other ones are, like, I do like the other ones. I have one of them on my I have two of them. Mm-hmm. I have Evil Dead, I have Army of Darkness. I like those a lot. I'd like the last one. I'm not sure I'll be buying it for my shelf. Shout out Lee Cronin from Lee Cronin's The Mummy fame. Mm-hmm. But like, I liked, so I'm like, man, no, these have been my thing. But this, but that's like, that's why this one to me just doesn't work, because this now gets into the territory of the shit that I don't like, the Terrifiers of the world, which are just not for me. Now it's not Terrifier. Let me be very clear about that. Terrifier is a whole different bag.
Yes, very different.
But it definitely pushes it further than any of the other ones have. And but I think a lot of that is if this had more of that nuanced humor and like, oh, like some of the things they're saying, some of the things they're doing, it's like, oh, okay, I can, like, it kind of doesn't dumb it down, but it brings it down to a more palatable level. If it had that, maybe I would have liked it, but no, it doesn't. And again, the acting, which I don't want to be like the acting in Evil Dead guy, but yeah, it is bad.
I'll say this too about the gore. So Obsession has some moments of heavy gore. Weapons had a few moments of heavy gore. But, like, that's okay. Like, that was those movies are both very good. And, like, the gore didn't like, that's fine. Like, I think all four of us are okay with gore in the right spot. This was just mean. Like, there was, yeah, like, there was a tone of this that was just, like, a nasty cruelty, like, hatred. Like, it was just that was where it rubbed me the wrong way more than anything else, personally.
I don't mind a mean movie either, though. I don't mind a mean horror movie, but I think this is more sadistic. Like,
no, maybe that's the word I'm looking for. Maybe sadistic or cruel. Maybe is a better word than mean. Like, it was just, it just felt like it was just, like, really twisting the knife on it.
I think sophomoric was the right way to put it. It's almost like, at least this might be apply more for us. Like when someone would show you like Beamy Pain Olympics, like, yeah, check this out, look at this. There's blood and guts. Like, I don't want to watch live leak in a movie. Like, I want there to be like something more to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not. Yeah. No.
What was the post credit? What'd they do?
What was the post credit?
Oh, so there is, I guess from a couple movies ago, whatever, there's a redheaded woman. Mm-hmm. You know how, remember the crematorium, the lady who ran the crematorium? Yeah. She's there with her daughter and they're looking at urns. And then they find the urn of the redheaded girl from the last movie, the redheaded woman. And then she goes and kills a child, breaks a child's neck in front of you. And it's like, why? Like, all right. You killed a kid now. You killed a dog and you killed a kid. Wow, edgy.
That was a rough death of the dog, too.
And I know, tough. And like, the dog's crying, and the kid, you break its neck. It's like, all right, just so you can say you killed a kid? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so that's Evil Dead Bird. If you like that type of shit, man, you're in for it. You're in for a good time. Mm-hmm. But
make another Army of Darkness. Come on.
I'd much rather that.
They can do better. That's the thing. It's like a little concerning that Sam Raimi wasn't involved in the last one and it was like really good, and then he was involved in this one and it was, and that's a little interesting. But his last movie he made was also fantastic. Yeah,
Scent Help was awesome. So
yeah, Scent Help was great. So yeah, that's our review of Evil Dead Burn. Evil Dead Wrath coming out in 2 years. From one of our favorite directors, Francis Galuppi.
Oh, good.
Francis Galuppi,
Fetty Alvarez, Lee Cronin. Like, this sounds like a fucking bullpen right now.
No, it sounds like a Star Wars character.
He did Last Stop in Yuma County, which I quite liked.
Huh. What a weird back and forth.
Yeah, saw a movie from 2023.
This week being bad is not the worst thing. This is a good come down for next week.
No, you need a bad week going into this.
This next week we're going all the way. We're going to the fucking.
You want a week though? The week after. Yeah. So we have the Odyssey next week.
Yeah, the week after is crazy.
It's the only thing we're review. There's no need to talk about anything else.
There's nothing else coming out.
To do that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do the next week. We're doing the Odyssey. We're gonna do our top 20 directors of the 21st century.
Okay.
Top 20.
We're only counting like their filmography,
their work in the 21st century.
Yeah,
if Scorsese, but so only 21st century.
We were going to do 10 years, but fucking Tarantino is an asshole, and I mean that endearingly. Like, makes fucking more movies, man. Mm. So we're doing 21st century.
Okay. And then the week after that, like nothing comes out.
Yeah, and then Spider-Man, which I'll tell you what, it's not to the level of the Odyssey for me, but I'm also trying to like bring down my expectations of that because I'm very excited for that.
Me too.
Make like $8 trillion apparently. The tracking.
Oh, yeah. The tracking is crazy. I saw like $250. That was nuts.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I'm going to show this website, by the way, really quick. That I found, which is kind of awesome.
X and XX.
Where is it?
LiveLeak.com.
So it's this website for finding. It's called findbigscreens.com. One second, I'm going to share it because it's actually really fucking cool. This is a really cool website. Somebody made this. Can you guys see this?
No, I don't think it works because of the way we're kind of set up right now.
So basically, you just type in. Well, let's type in New York, for example. You type in your zip code, and then it brings up all the screens in the area, and you can see it puts a little person in the corner. And then we'll edit this into the YouTube video, but you can then compare it to like all the things around it. The IMAX Lincoln Square is like the biggest thing in the world, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's awesome.
But it is like, it's very cool. You can see the biggest screens in your area to find where you need to go see the Odyssey or go see whatever, Spider-Man. So yeah, findbigscreens.com. Very, very cool website. So check that out if you're trying to find the biggest screen to watch the Odyssey on. Movie news, two monstrous trailers. We'll start it out. We'll start it out on a sad note. Rest in peace, Sam Neill passed away. As of we're recording this, yesterday, saw that late last night. Very sad. Great, what a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
Iconic shots, roles, performances. I mean, taking off the glasses in Jurassic Park is like one of the most iconic shots in any movie ever. And just a perfect character in those movies and many, many, many other things too. You want to talk about recent stuff, talk about fucking Hunt for the Wilder People. Nah, it's not even recent. It's like, what, 15 years old. But he just, fantastic actor and very sad to see because obviously was still working as well.
Looking for a cool thriller, check out Dead Calm. It's a movie he made in, I think, 89 with Nicole Kidman and Billy Zane. They're on a boat and they're like basically like a killer's after them on the boat with them. It's kind of a good thriller and he's fantastic in it. So Dead Calm, if you're looking for kind
of
a
TV too, Peaky Blinders. He's one of the insanely good villain. And obviously so many other things like Hunt for the Red October.
He's in that. Yep.
So great in that.
Always Mind hilarious. Madness. Always hilarious in interviews too. Like a very great interviewer.
Great social presence as well. Like he's like very funny on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Like he just like all he did all day was like post him and his farm animals.
Yep.
And he's just like, yeah, I love my pigs. I love my this. Like he's the best.
Got to cover it up, but shout out Second Sight Possession with Sam Neill.
Oh my goodness.
Speaking of nipples, got to cover them up.
Cover those up.
Can't show that off.
And Event Horizon. One of the best box sets. Another horror banger he was in. But you ever watch Event Horizon?
Years ago.
You ever seen that? It's Paul Wes Anderson. It's movies before he just did nothing but making like movies with his wife.
Yeah.
But these like Event Horizon is a legitimately great horror movie.
Really?
It's so good, in my opinion.
I remember being that good. I'll rewatch it.
It's creepy as shit. It's so scary.
Very, very, very.
May have seen it under the influence.
Also in Bicentennial Man.
Yes.
One of Kurt's favorites, right?
That's correct.
Shout out to Steve Robinson.
There's this Instagram account that I follow. It's this guy. He has the TV behind him, and his wife describes what's happening in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And he gets it all the time. The other day, they're like, they're wheeling in a robotics box. He goes, that's Bicentennial Man. Hell yeah. He's really good at it. Like it's like freaky. But he flubbed the blade the other day. They were like, it's a nightclub, but it might be a meat locker. And he was like, oh, what the fuck? It's a really good Instagram.
That's one of the best intros ever. That's an iconic.
Yeah, he was very beside himself. He's like, what the fuck?
I fucked you can that describe up. The song, like the doon 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 doon. The song that plays, it's so good.
Also shout out Wim Wenders' movie Until the End of the World. Another one with Sam Neill that I actually rewatched recently. Own that. So yeah, legend passed away. Very sad. So just wanted to kind of honor that off the top. Two trailers, two big ones. Dune Part 3. Second trailer. Almost upset I watched it.
I have not watched it for that reason.
I have not either.
Yeah, but it's awesome. And my hype is just through the roof. We'll see what it does. Kenjack, did you watch it?
Yeah.
There's a very... I'm gonna toe the line here. Because this is all speculation. I'm going to toe the line. The trailer, I'll say this much, is very clearly shows the direction they're going. And I think the difference is between this and Messiah, the book. So I'll just say that much. I think you can kind of see what the differences are going to be. We've said it before, Messiah is not exactly the most well-received story. though there are some significantly less well-received Dunes.
Yes.
And I think it's clear that he's going to go in a different direction, or at least changing things up.
Yeah.
And I do think the trailer kind of shows that a little bit, but it looks fucking... It looks unbelievable. Just the scope and scale is just... Nobody does it better in terms of, like, sci-fi scale. Like, Denny is just... And you know what he's getting a lot of praise for this weekend, which is great? He's releasing three monstrous movies in a six-year span.
Yeah, insane.
Three just... And honestly, he probably would have done it sooner, but they kind of waited for... Remember, there was, like, that awkward time during COVID where it's like, is it going to get greenlit?
Right.
So that's probably what delayed it a little. But, like, he is going to release three mega, mega movies. Like, the biggest scope and scale you could ever imagine in a six-year span. That's fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Visually looks great. Because, at least to me, by my brand, I'm like, they lose Frasier. Maybe it's going to step down a little bit. Then, obviously, they get...
Sandgren.
And, like, holy shit, it looks great.
Looks amazing.
So good.
Some of us... I know you posted the shot, Gooch, of Princess Aurelia and Florence Pugh's character. Some of the coloring, too.
Yeah. I've seen the shots. Looks. I didn't watch the trailer, but, like, the shots are just unavoidable. And, like, I've obviously...
There's a shot of her. It literally looks like it's out of Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. Do you see any of these?
Well, I'm hoping to see... I'm going to see the trailer, I think...
the prologue?
We had Odyssey.
Yeah, so I'm kind of waiting for that.
Yeah.
I was going to wait for Thursday, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for, but...
I think the other trailers, maybe... I think if you told me which one I liked more, the other one, but I like both. I mean, they're just... It just looks so fucking good. It would be awesome if a gigantic space epic went head-to-head with a gigantic epic like The Odyssey. Denny versus... No, like, at the... That'd be unbelievable. What a fucking duel that would be.
Might happen. Listen, the receptions at Cannes this year and the other film festivals so far has been, I don't know if there's a real standout out of, like, the real European art house community and the more artsy films.
I also, there was like kind of thoughts after Oppenheimer when you heard he was doing Odyssey. It's like, can he win for another epic? And my thought on that, and like kind of honestly, One Battle was kind of like a big, like,
yeah,
it was kind of a big sweeping movie in a sense, at least in comparison to the, like, it's not like a Nora, right? Like, a Nora's right. a smaller movie, but, like, I don't think anything is like, if Dune 3, if Odyssey's on its own, I could see something smaller, maybe, like, but I think if this ends up being good and Odyssey's good, like, those are, I think they're just going to smother everything else.
Project Hail Mary, don't sleep on it.
Oh, my
God. I wouldn't sleep on that either. I think that is
a better chance than Dune 3. I think Project Hail Mary is for, like, just even a wider audience.
I'd agree. Dune but 3. Dune 3 has a significantly tighter needle to thread. I think it can win, though. I think it absolutely has a chance.
I don't think Dune 3 can win with because of ranked voting. I think some people are just out on Dune. Like, the olds. And, like, certain people are just, like, they just get, like, they're just checked out.
Yeah, it does get nommed a lot, though, and it does win.
I think for Best Picture, you have to, it's such a huge net. I don't think it can win, but we'll see.
Would you have said the same
thing? But then, I guess, Project Hail Mary, I don't think anything has a chance with Project Hail Mary. It'll be up there. I mean, it will be nominated, yeah. Like, you would assume. So, I just think between this, you're right, throw Hail Mary in there, and Odyssey, I think nothing else stands a chance. I think those are three massive movies. They're going to smother everything else.
There's nothing else coming. I feel like we're missing things. Like, is there...
In terms of big stuff? I mean, there's smaller stuff. Like, Fjord has been hailed as kind of the front runner
right. In
that kind of grouping, but...
I just think Nolan, Denny, and again, I think you're right. Project Hail Mary is going to absolutely remain in the picture until next year. I think it's going to get crushed. I think anything else is going to get crushed by it. The sentiment, of three major, like, massive movies. Though I have a feeling we will be calling The Odyssey a front runner in a week. Would be my guess.
I really hope so. I hope this is as good. I'm trying to level my expectations because I'm starting to get really excited.
But yeah, Dune 3 trailer was fucking great. Awesome. Like, as excited as I've ever been for a movie. Cannot fucking wait. Digger with Tom Cruise. This is an interesting one. He plays the most powerful CEO in the world who has to save the planet from his own mistake. Also has John Goodman, Sandra Hüller, which that might be the number one reason to think it's probably going to be good. If Sandra Hohler or Renata Rhines was in the movie, it's probably good.
Yep.
Probably good.
Odds are.
Like 8 for 8, right?
If this gets nominated for Best Picture, she might be in another double Best Picture nominee year. Because she was in Zone of Interest and Anatomy of Fall, and she might be Project Hail Mary in this as well. If this is good, and I'm going to throw a, I'm throwing, call me a hater, I'm throwing a massive if on this one. Massive if on this one. Yeah. And I want it to be good. I want this to be good. Maybe not as much as Dune or Odyssey, but you telling me Tom Cruise, Best Actor, but like, I want it to be good. We'll see. What do we think about the trailer? If you see Tom Cruise the first time in full, you hear him talk, you see him perform, comes out October 2nd. I'll start with you, Gooch. What did you think?
Incredibly excited to see what Tom Cruise is doing here. Like the performance.
Alejandro Iñárritu is directing The Revenant, Birdman, and then Bardo or whatever.
We're not talking about Bardo ever again. We're good on Bardo.
The performance looks like it will bill up to kind of what they've been selling. Which is like a balls to the wall Tom Cruise return to character acting, and it looks awesome, or at least what Tom Cruise is doing looks awesome. The Iñárritu side of things still really fucking worries me. He has a tendency to be a little on the nose with social commentary and the humor, and I think the humor in this movie will be kind of the deciding factor.
Yeah,
like does the humor land or is it too heavy handed and just Don't Look Up Part 2, which it might be. It may be, but other than that, I think Tom Cruise looks great. John Goodman looks like he's doing a classic, just over-the-top performance. Sandra Hüller, you don't really get to look at really anybody else. You get Clemens a couple snippets, but it's mostly Goodman and Cruise.
Did she even talk in that trailer?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think you get a Plemons line in there. Mm-hmm. And a
the Goodman line delivery, I'm like, this is either really great in a good movie or really bad in a movie that isn't, that doesn't hit. Like there's no like, but like I could see, I what's bookmark this? When we review this movie, that Goodman line delivery is going to either be the greatest part of that movie or it's going to be like, this was a sign, this stinks.
We get Stolberg too. I feel like I haven't seen him in a movie in forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the cast is bigger than I remember. Like ever.
Riz Ahmed looks great too. That's another one he missed. He looks really good.
He's so good.
I do think visually it looks good. I saw some people complaining that it's a little gray, but it's supposed
to be. That's
the idea. Like, it is into the world.
That is also. I don't want to make an excuse for it because it is. It is fucking gray.
It's gray.
That is his style, though.
Mm. The Revenant's very gray. It's a gorgeous movie.
To me, and I quote to someone on this earlier, I was like, desaturation and more of that gray look, it works stylistically if that's what you're going for in the movie, and like it fits the sort of theme. And to me, you're doing like this manicured dystopian future society. Great works for that, I think, perfectly. You know where it doesn't work? Wicked. When you're doing a big fantastical crazy world and there's zero color in the movie. That's where I think it sucks. Here, I think it fits. And as far as like the full trailer goes, if this turns out, I think the worst case scenario is this turns out like Mickey 17, where it's like,
I got Mickey 17 vibes watching
this. Yeah, where it's like, wow, we have great performances in this. It's just a little too on the nose. And like,
it's a
maybe.
Mess?
Yeah, like that's the worst.
It looks like a mess. You know what scared me? We haven't mentioned the end of the scariest thing, or the most interesting thing. Four writers on this.
Mm. Well, it's his normal writing crew. He's the same people he always works with. It's like two people, they wrote both his Oscar winners with him. And the I think it's one woman.
And you're not counting Tom Cruise, who is like infamous for
four writers on a project.
Being
that's
in the writer's room.
They wrote two Oscar winners. So
four of them did.
Four
people getting Oscar now.
It was the three of them.
Same movie.
It was Iñárritu and the two of them that wrote the other two movies that he Revenant and
it makes you feel a little better, I guess. This looks like a mess.
Yeah, it's same crew from Birdman. Here's my one thing about the coloring, and I don't like. I want to see it. I'm not gonna like. Some people are like, nope. Desaturated. Birdman. So Emmanuel Lubezki is the cinematographer. He did Revenant. He did Birdman. Birdman has that look too in spots, but Birdman also has incredible usage of color throughout the movie. He goes in that one liquor store. It's got those. That's one of my favorite shots of any movie ever. When he's in that liquor store and he's walking out, and it's got those fucking lights, like those chili lights or whatever they are. Like
looks like Christmas lights almost.
Looks unbelievable, unbelievable. And then. Even on stage, there's like massive pops of blue, red. Like, so there is a lot of that as well. We'll see with this one. But I get what you're saying, Kendrick. It almost gave me like almost black and white, like Dr. Strangelove type shit. Yeah. Like maybe that's what they're going for because that's kind of what, you know, it's like nuclear and it's whatever. So we'll see. I'm confident Odyssey's going to be great. I'm confident Dune's going to be great. I have no idea this one.
Exactly.
This could be... terrible.
I'm confident Tom Cruise will be great.
Me too.
I'm confident I'll come out and be like, damn, yeah. We saw Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is awesome. Yes.
Yeah, he looks great in this. Every clip I see of him, I like it even more.
Yes.
Him,
his very, very Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder Vibes.
Yeah, like, almost Les Grossman, like, yeah.
Almost like he's like, I'm never making, like, because he's wanted to make that standalone Les Grossman movie, almost like he may never be able to make it. So he's like, I'm just going to channel that character for this.
Into an Inuyuritu movie, yeah.
It's kind of like Mickey 17,
though. He did Inuyuritu in 2006. He did do that as well. Amores Perros, which I believe is in the Criterion Collection, 21 Grams. He's done other things as well. But Bardo, his last one, was just...
It's not for me.
Yeah, but even Bardo, like, this is where I have a tough time agreeing with people who are already jumping down this movie's throat for the way it looks. It's, even Bardo looks amazing. Yeah. Like, I just don't trust
Inuyuritu.
I don't think that Inuyuritu has, like, a bad-looking movie in him. He has bad movies in him. They're never going to look bad, I don't think, though.
Mickey 17, Robert Pattinson was fantastic in that movie. No. That movie was a mess.
Yeah, I think it's terrible, though.
But again, that's why I think. That's why
terrible.
I think
it's this, not terrible.
I think,
no,
I think this has much higher bad disaster potential. Like, I think this has the potential to really be a bad movie.
You're right.
If the floor of this is Mickey 17 or Don't Look Up, I'm okay with that, as long as we get a Tom Cruise playing a real character out of it. You know what I mean? Like, if that's the price of admission, that's fine with me.
I found the trailer to be incredibly disappointing. I'm like, this looks like it could be a total mess when I had higher hopes going in.
We said the same thing about a lot of movies over the last couple years. I think the guys that make trailers are just kind of maybe they've lost the plot
like
a little bit.
Frantic, though, and like kind of like.
I like that for Cruise, though. Like, playing, he's playing a guy. He's playing a real guy.
No, I love it for Cruise. It's everything else that has me like, ugh. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah. Riz Ahmed in the plane scene, I thought it looked good. Like, all these other actors I'm very excited for, especially.
We'll see. I'll be excited to go see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next trailer, those teaser for Godzilla Minus Zero has been released. What do we think about this one? This was interesting trailer.
Banger incoming. Absolute banger incoming.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
So good. Minus One was so goddamn good. Such a great movie. Like, such an out of nowhere one too, because at least I know, remember when Mia talked about it. Like, I'm not the biggest Godzilla fan. They always try to do whatever it's like, King of Monsters, all that shit. Like, let's look at these human characters. Look at these human characters, and they always suck. Never liked them. Never enjoyed them. Just show me the big monster. And this movie, I couldn't give a fuck about Godzilla. All I cared about was the human characters, and they were so well acted. The movie was so well written. Such a great story. God, just I can't wait. Can't wait to see more Yamazaki too.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we started recording. I'm pumped for the next Godzilla. Like, I obviously cannot wait for Minus Zero. Like, cannot wait. I have Minus One on 4K. Easiest purchase I ever made. But Yamazaki, right?
He's got, yeah.
Yeah. Takashi Yamazaki, the director. I said this to Ken Jack. In terms of Spielberg knockoffs and, like, rips, that was about as good of a rip of Spielberg I've ever seen. At least in, like, the last 10 years. Just incredible. Like, I need to see him in the American studio system, or at least with American studio funding,
yes,
to make something huge.
Yes.
I was just blown away by what he did in the first one.
Yeah. Very excited.
You've seen it, right?
You've seen Minus One?
No.
Really? That's a this week thing for you.
It's on Netflix. You got to watch that.
Good, right?
Yeah. It's subtitles, yeah, though.
That's
I don't mind that. No, I don't care about that.
It's like, to me, like one of the best like monster movies.
Yeah, everyone raves about it. I know. I was gonna see it before the sequel comes. You know what? Like, especially with the All Star break, I got time.
It's really classic blockbuster.
I should watch it.
Making.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should watch it this week,
right,
for sure.
I will for sure.
New Nightmare on Elm Street coming.
We were talking about that before. Like, I just so Freddy Krueger just
Paramount Primal. It's their new like label. They're doing like
What is it?
Yeah, it's their spinoff, Paramount Primal.
It's not going to be on
making
new
streaming
line.
Services inside.
No. It's their sub studio.
It's their like monster studio, or whatever. I guess.
Like horror monsters. Yeah.
I growing up, so Nightmare on Elm Street was like the thing for me in the '80s. I went with my dad all the time. I dressed up like Freddy Krueger like three straight Halloweens. I love Freddy Krueger. I just don't know what else you could say. Like, what else can we say about this character, about being vulnerable when you sleep?
They already tried to remake it.
I know. So, like, I don't really know what the point of this is. Like, I make new stuff. Make new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love Freddy Krueger.
So I picked it from New Line, though, which is interesting.
I know.
Interesting.
It was like the New Line property before, like,
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to do that. And make then Netflix, stuff. Paramount, Sony, a bunch of other companies talking about purchasing Letterboxd. Not too shocked. Feels like it had its moment.
So it's going to suck now?
Pretty much, yeah.
I think it'll be fine under most of these. Like, I'm not too concerned, except for one.
You think a studio should be able to buy this?
That I'm not saying they should, but it just, this is one of those things where I'm just not like, just not concerned.
Is it going to be, I guess, you get a special like bonus points if you like a Paramount movie, you know, or whatever, like a Warner Brothers movie?
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know. It just doesn't. It just, the world we live in at this point, like, I just, whatever. I don't,
why does,
I,
why does I can't the studio
pretend,
want it?
I cannot pretend to have fake outrage over this. Except for one outrage. Thing.
It's real outrage. I like Letterboxd a lot. It's, this sucks.
Yeah, I do too. But I don't think if Sony buys it, it's just going to become shit. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just, that doesn't.
Why do they want it?
The same reason. What studio owns, doesn't a studio own Rotten Tomatoes?
Probably Disney.
It's like day one.
I didn't know that.
I'll look it up.
I don't know.
I just there's one that if they, there's one company, if it buys it, my tune will change, and that's Reddit.
Warner Brothers does have 25% stake on Rotten Tomatoes.
Reddit makes sense for it. Reddit makes complete sense.
Yep. It's like all people buy people, buy people, buy people, for people type stuff. Yeah.
Could you see if it just gets like full on like Reddit integration, then it becomes like real just slop garbage?
Like people still do, they do Reddit comments on Letterboxd as is, you know, it's, that to me makes more sense because they're not attached.
What I think is going to happen, what would happen is this is why I'm not bothered by it or worried about it. I think a studio will view their video rental store as a way to push their movies. If that's what they do, then that's what they fucking do. Like, I don't like the core of what Letterboxd is used for. I just don't see changing based on any of them buying them. But I think if Netflix buys Letterboxd, I think what you'll see is where it says video store rent, like the video store, whatever, instead of seeing maybe some smaller stuff, which I haven't bought anything on the video store there. It's kind of fucking expensive for like streaming something.
I know.
And like some of the stuff on there is really great, like Red Rooms, but like I own Red Rooms or like Sentimental Values in there. I own like there's like that's I just think it'll end up being like Netflix stuff. To me, that just doesn't bother. I can't pretend that bothers me.
It says
I don't know.
Rent Merpo and Blurpo's first kiss on Netflix.
Yeah, like if
whatever,
it says like stream whatever, then
if that's
sure.
what it is, but, then I have no problem with that. My issue is like, are they gonna start like, you know, watering down or dumbing down or
less exposure for reviews.
Less exposure
negative
for negative
for
reviews
stuff.
About yes. their studio movies. Like they're gonna tamper.
That is, there's a conflict of interest. There's absolutely no doubt.
That's my that would be my issue.
Yeah,
maybe I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe have to more see how it looks.
NBC Universal and Warner Brothers. And Universal owns 75% of Rotten Tomatoes. So and there's plenty of bad Rotten Tomatoes.
Certified owners.
Mm. Warner Brothers actually owns 25% of it.
Yeah.
Mm. It is
so interesting. So if that's your concern, Rotten Tomatoes, trust me, there are plenty of bad movies in those two studios on Rotten Tomatoes that you see front and center. So to me, that just doesn't concern me. I don't know.
I hope you're right, because I hope that is the way. And
I understand. I can be convinced on the Reddit thing. My thing is like, I don't know. There's just some subreddits with like movie stuff that you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, if the integration were to be crazy, that would, I think, maybe drive me nuts. But I could be wrong on that. I could be dead wrong on that. So that's news. Anything people have seen? Cape Fear stinks, by the way. The Apple TV show.
I'm happy I didn't start.
Amy Adams. I've tweeted this today. Amy Adams sounds like fucking Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, no.
It's so bad. But I can't stop watching it. And part of it, Javier Bardem's, like, actually excellent in it. Mm. Like, he's great. But everything else is so stupid. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I figured.
His Scorsese's name is fucking slapped on that show. It's everywhere on that show.
Trying to think. What
so I on Supercritics, Robbie Fox and I talk about Batman Forever. So check that out. I think it was a good,
great movie.
Not so much. and then I saw Marathon Man, which is on Paramount Plus right now. I'd never seen it before. Dustin Hoffman, Peak Hoffman, Laurence Olivier. Who am I forgetting? Roy Scheider, who I love. It's so good. William Goldman's script. It is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I feel like I wish I had seen it earlier, but check it out if you like kind of movies from the '70s. It's awesome. It's awesome.
I saw it for the first time like a couple months ago. I got it from Kino Lorber, had a sale. I got their physical. It's fucking excellent. Great one to own.
I mean,
great Dustin Hoffman role. Yeah, very, very good.
Dustin Hoffman over your left shoulder right now as I speak.
Yes, yeah, I see him right now.
Yeah. Right
the, by the way, the same year.
Yeah, oh, that was the same year?
Same year. How about that year for Hoffman? And the same year for Goldman, too. 76. So, yeah, so if you're looking for kind of a movie maybe to watch tonight or something, Marathon Man, if you have Paramount Plus, definitely.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. House of the Dragon solid still. Way, so just like miles ahead of season two. It's crazy. It's insane how much better it is.
I think I'm finally being peer pressured into.
Walked into it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of swore it off, and I was like, ah, fuck this show. But now I'm back. I think I'm going to jump back in.
I want to try this agency show that Jeff apparently hates. Like, all I'm hearing is outside of Jeff, all I see is good people talking about how great it is on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. They're all like, oh my God, the agency is so good. It's underrated. So I'm going to try that out.
There we go.
Wait, which one? The agency?
Fassbender agency, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm still watching it. I just forgot so much. So you don't want to see a fucking snoozer, Silo. Holy shit.
I never watched it.
I had to give up.
Daniel Love can release three fucking sci-fi movies and say that it took forever to, Silo takes forever to churn out. I just fucking, what a snoozer.
Mm.
Holy shit. Huge bummer.
Love Virgo.
I've started my Odyssey kind of prep watching, and I got to tell you, this is like very enjoyable right now. It's like you're either just watching Nolan movies or you're watching like Lawrence of Arabia, Ben-Hur to get ready for it. It's been very nice.
Watch Troy yet?
that one's I watched that earlier. I watched that last year.
So I ordered it from Arrow. Arrow released Troy. I ordered it, but I don't have it yet.
Before the fucking all the wackos took over Troy as being like the pantheon for the anti-woke version of Odyssey. I still loved it.
It used to just be an underrated movie. Now they've completely turned the tide.
They turned it and be like, now it's actually the best movie. It's like, no, it's not, but it is a good movie. It is a good movie.
I don't think it's good.
I like the fight between Troy, between Achilles and Hector is insane. The giant scale of it, some of those.
Brian
Cox.
Brendan Gleeson.
I'm also, you know me, I'm not the big sword.
Peter O'Toole.
That's why I'm putting the sword and sandals as a test for this Odyssey. Then.
Yeah, that's fair. That'd be interesting to see how you walk away with.
I did love that Trojan horse scene, though. Oh my God.
And they all starts like coming apart and stuff, dude, and like that music's playing. Oh, what a cast. Eric Bana, where'd you go, man? We miss you.
Yeah, I'm feeling my opinion on that will never. It just is what it is. But it is getting caped for like crazy. And then they also did just release it in 4K with Arrow. So
I will be
good job on timing from them. That was probably pretty fucking smart. Mm-hmm. Continuing to organize and sort and get a bunch of new stuff. I got the fucking Wes Anderson box set from Criterion during their sale.
Oh, jeez.
It's cool, but it's just so fucking Wes Anderson. It like makes me sick.
Oh, he got caught in an elevator last week, right?
He did?
Luke Wilson?
At the museum I went to. The museum of...
No way, at the museum?
Academy Award
museum.
They did a screening.
You see this stuff? Firefighters rescuing Wes Anderson out of an elevator. It was really funny.
I've been picking up premiums of movies that I really love. Like, really love. Like, kind of hunting for them. And I got... So, speaking of Nolan, I'll just show off. I got the Dark Knight.
Cool. Here we go.
Trilogy. One Click, which is like a big box. You get multiple of each movie. But I kept these, the lenticulars. Here's The Dark Knight.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Why So Serious? Might be talking about that guy in a second. And then Batman Begins.
Let's go.
With the definitive Rachel.
Yes,
that's right. That's right.
But these are really cool. I've never seen anything like this with physical. This one, I don't know if we ever talked about this one, Ken Jack, but JSA from Umbrella.
Oh, banger. I got the Arrow version. Was
fucking awesome.
Banger movie.
Waited a while to get this one. Umbrella makes the best stuff. I say it every week. This is another one. Has anyone seen the movie Suicide Club?
No, I have not.
Never heard of it.
Major recommendation. I had not seen it. It was a blind buy. Honestly, it was like the fucking box looks unbelievable from Umbrella, but it's really very morbid. There's a mass suicide of like 50 plus like high school kids, and then it like instigates like a bunch of different and like suicides and shit. And they're trying to find the answer. It's really crazy. But cool, like old, internet, like style box, but then like the cover itself is just like great artwork, really cool, blind buy and worth it again from Umbrella, which does amazing stuff. Minus one thing, they are releasing Human Centipede, which is fucking dog shit. But look at this. These are video game documentaries. Got this from Vinegar Syndrome. One is for the anyone like GoldenEye? GoldenEye,
yeah, of course.
Players here. Documentary making of GoldenEye. And the box comes.
Awesome.
It looks like an N64 case.
That's very cool.
How sick is that? And then there's another one for Tony Hawk. It's Pretending I'm Superman in Golden Era.
That's
solid
awesome.
Documentaries. But like, I was like, that is awesome. That's like really creative and cool. So pretty neat. All right. Nolan. Christopher Nolan movies. Characters. We figured if we did movies, it'd be the same fucking... I mean, first off, how many movies does he have now?
12?
Could we even do a whole list?
Like 13, 14, something like that?
I guess he could have. It wouldn't have been that exciting. So we're doing characters. best characters from Christopher Nolan movies. So here we go. As always, ranked choice. We ranked 15. Computer hacked up a list for us and spit out the list of 10. Number 10. There was a tie at number 10.
Oh.
So the tie is going to be broken by whoever has the more top 10 entrants. So Walter Finch, Robin Williams loses the tiebreaker from Insomnia. Yeah. We're going number 10 on Gooch's list, on Ken Jack's list, on Clemmer's, not on mine. Hmm. I had Robin Williams. This is Hugh Jackman in The Prestige.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Gooch, you had him highest at number 7.
Robert Angier? Yeah, this is like the proto. This is the proto Louis Strauss from Oppenheimer. Like, this is, you could see his obsession with Amadeus, like, just shining through right here, piecing together. And I think it's like one of Jackman's best performances. Like, he never really gets to play that kind of jealous, vindictive guy. Mm. He's played angry, but jealousy is like a completely different pitch for him. And he's so good. He's so good against Bale. I love the period setting, and I love there was that run on magician movies there for a second, and The Prestige was just very clearly the best. Mm-hmm. And I think that is in large part not only because of Nolan, but I think those two leads just knocked it out of the fucking park.
To be fair, you only had Nolan and Giamatti, right?
I mean, Giamatti, Burt Wonderstone.
Mm. Burt Wonderstone.
Burt Wonderstone. I was just thinking,
how could you forget Steve Burt Carell. Wonderstone?
I apologize.
I'm a hater.
I was just thinking The Illusionist.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? Better wig than the Moana wig on Don the Rock, the Burt Wonderstone wig.
It was.
Better wig.
Without question.
No, but Angier is fucking awesome. Come on. Yeah,
great, so hater. Obviously, the compliment.
An elite hater.
With Amadeus. Just an all-time great hater. And a great character.
He is an elite hater. That is true.
And expertly played by Jackman, who in this period also does like Prisoners and like all these other great movies. Yeah. God, such a great actor.
He's still making awesome movies now.
Yeah.
Just the run he's had in the last few months have been incredible.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, number 9 from Prestige to Memento, Leonard Shelby, Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
5 on Ken Jack, 6 on Clemmer, 14 on my list. Not on Gooch's list.
Wow.
Yeah, I just rewatched it.
Wow.
Maybe that was.
No, that means that's even worse.
That's bad.
Yeah. I like him. It's just, I don't love that movie. I just really don't. I've tried so many times with it and I just get too frustrated watching Guy Pearce forget everything every fucking day.
That's how he feels.
I know. But like, God, you're going to fucking meet Joey Pants again? Like, come on.
I'd love to meet him every day for the first time. Can you imagine what a great life that would be, meeting Joe Pants?
Number 16 on my list was Joey Pants and Memento, by the way.
I think I would have had Joey Pants ahead of Guy Pearce, to be honest. Just every day. What's up, buddy?
Kendrick, you've been top 5.
Yeah, I think he's just a great character and expertly acted by Pierce. And also, like, it's weird because he's the protagonist and also, like, in a way, the antagonist.
Yes.
So, like, he has to carry a very heavy load. So I would say as good as it is a character for Nolan, because this, in a lot of these other movies, it's not very character heavy, if that makes sense. It's very much like story. The story is the big main focus here.
For sure.
In this movie,
there's one in particular where there's like, It's one of those movies I've ever seen, and I wouldn't pick a single character from it.
Yeah, like that is very much the case with a lot of Nolan movies. This is like almost the opposite, where it's like it's all mm-hmm. about, and it's all carried by really a singular guy, and it's all on Guy Pearce, and I think he delivers in a huge way. Super impressive from Pearce, but also just the characters. It's fascinating, the whole idea of him, how he's acted, and how like everything kind of like needles its way through to the finish line. I think it's fascinating. I think he's a great character.
I think it's a great pick. I had it at 14, Mitch, maybe even a little unfair, especially when you see my full list.
Clemmer, do you remember?
But he is fantastic in it.
What's that?
Do you remember when this movie came out, mm-hmm. Memento?
Like,
what was the reaction?
It was exciting. It was this new director with this crazy new, like, with this crazy like concept. It was just a kind of no one was, but like, oh, the idea that the guy just forgets everything all the time. That was exciting. So like, I was in college at the time, so like a bunch of my film college friends, we all went and saw it. And then we had the DVD in the dorms. We were all just like mm-hmm. sharing it around. So it was exciting. Like, we didn't know who Nolan was yet. We knew who Nolan was when he made Insomnia. It's like, oh, the guy that made Memento is making a Robin Williams movie. Cool.
Yeah.
But it was exciting. It was fun.
And what was Pierce just like, that's the L.A. Confidential guy? Or like,
Yeah. Character actor. LA. And everyone kind of knew Joey Pants. He'd also character actor kind of been around.
Of course.
And then Carrie Ann Moss. Had she done Matrix yet?
'99.
So like, she was kind of in the mix with stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. Have you ever seen him explain it? Nolan explain like how the timeline works and everything, and like the back and forth, and how it just it is. It's one of things where you ever like don't believe. It's like he's full of shit. Watch that one Memento video. You'll be like, oh no, I believe everything this guy fucking says. buy right in.
If you don't have time for that too, just go to the Wikipedia page for Memento. Anytime you see a when you get to the plot and there's a fucking graph.
Yeah.
It's a fucking graph.
Yeah.
Like shows you like
here's how it works. I think there's one for Inception. Yeah. It's a graph of all the dreams.
Number eight. So 10, Robert Angier, The Prestige. Number 9, Leonard Shelby, Memento. Top 10, Christopher Nolan characters. Number 8 is The Bordens, Christian Bale. We'll include both. Sorry, spoiler. Mm-hmm. if you haven't seen The Prestige yet, that's your fault. This was on 3 lists, not on Gooch's list. 9 on Ken Jack, 3 on Clemmer. So I'll let you start, Clemmer, and then 15 on mine.
Yeah, just brilliant. Like I was completely fooled watching it for the first time. Just a complete masterclass by Bale. Excuse me. And you make a great point about the two movies. You had The Illusionist come out, and you had this come out. I think the same few months apart.
Yeah.
And the level and quality here is so drastic. And it's just such an amazing work where he does play the two characters, but it's subtle enough, but yet extreme enough where you believe it, subtle enough where you're fooled. It's brilliant. It's just awesome. Christian Bale's so great. Wish Christian Bale was making good movies again or kind of doing stuff again. I kind of miss him.
Mm-hmm. Ditto on that. Yeah.
Just you wait for Madden, baby.
Oh, yeah, Madden.
I'm hoping.
I'll keep waiting.
Yeah. I'm very, very nervous.
I'll get in line for the next movie. fantastic characters. And obviously the sell of that movie doesn't work if the person in this role doesn't turn in like elite work.
Yeah.
Majorly important. So yeah. Good one. Number seven. I won't say a bad word about Clemmer for at least a month because he helped me on this one.
Okay, good.
He had it at 5. I had it at 3. Not on Gooch's list. Not on Ken Jack's. I think the most important character in the movie, and that is Matt Damon's Leslie Groves from Oppenheimer.
He's the heartbeat of that movie.
The most important, really the heart and soul of that movie should have been nominated.
Absolutely right.
I don't know if he's top 5.
He's number 3 on my list.
Top 5 in that movie?
I don't know if he's top 5 in that movie.
That's crazy. He's so good.
Here you go. You want it? I mean, this is going to tell you who I had mostly on my list. I have him at 3. I don't even hate that comment.
I mean,
that's fine.
There's some great, like, if you go, obviously, Oppie Strauss, but then also Krumholtz.
Krumholtz
Hartnett,
is really good.
Hartnett's so fucking good in the movie.
I had Kitty Oppenheimer.
Dude, she's good. Fucking, yeah, dude.
Benny Safdie's crazy ass accent. Come on.
Hydrogen. Casey Affleck was amazing in that.
Oh, but like, I mean, stop.
Rami Malek.
Leslie Groves.
Remember the Casey Affleck? My favorite part's the jump scare of Casey Affleck. We're like, hey, remember this guy was in movies? Look who it is.
Alden Ehrenreich's cunty ass in that movie. Come on.
Compared to Leslie Groves? No.
Absolutely
not. Leslie Groves really, and I think gave a better performance than Robert Downey Jr. did by quite a bit.
I don't know if I'd agree.
Yes, I will stand by that.
It's kind of just being Matt Damon.
That's a big problem with a lot of
Matt Damon movies. Who I love, but he's there to be.
I think he's fantastic. I love this character. I smiled every time he came on screen.
Otherwise, it's a big, nerdy, dorky movie, and he just gives you this like this humanizing element. I think he just crushes that performance. He gets the assignment. He's very funny. Classic good Matt Damon line deliveries. Like, there's some just excellent. Some of the stuff on the train, the right before they test the bomb, all that. Yeah, I love it.
Yep,
so
me too.
Number 7, Leslie Groves, Matt Damon, Oppenheimer. Number 6. Ooh, this is kind of ominous. Number six overall, 6 on Gooch's, 6 on Ken Jack's, 6 on mine, not on Clemmer's, Louis Strauss, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Just a perfectly pathetic, like, pick me loser in this movie. Just a great, great job making him just see, oh, that every time they cut to the scene where he gets made fun of by Oppenheimer in that big hearing. And he just kind of gives him that look of
get
like
those isotopes from Denmark. Like, oh, you big dummy.
you stupid fuck. Yeah. Really good. And then I think delivers even a great moment with no lines when he gets destroyed, when Rami Malek's character comes in and takes him down. Like, just the looks on his face. Yeah, I think he is excellent in this. And I think deserving of the Oscar that he won.
Yeah. Very cool for Downey Jr. too. I feel like, at least for us anyway, not getting to see him in like a real movie
for a very long time.
Right.
Do you remember when people thought that he was like they're like, look at this fucking woke vegan weirdo loser. His hair is turning white because how weird he is. They're like, I think he's doing an old man role. Yeah. And that's what it was. It was just he was just playing an old guy.
Yeah. He was fantastic. The dinner scene where like they're trying to figure out like the hydrogen bomb, like so fantastic. When he's like explaining stuff to Ehrenreich, he's just such a great role. Such a great. We talk about great haters with Jackman. Like this is up there with one of the as far as all time movie haters go. Like he's right at the pantheon.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
So goddamn.
You guys mentioned the Amadeus.
Yeah. Works. Well, he's right up there with Salieri.
Salieri.
Oh yeah, of course.
Saltier.
Yeah. I mean,
so that's number six. Louis Strauss. Oppenheimer. Clemmer and I got our Leslie Groves.
We did.
These guys get their own.
That's right.
Not on my list. Not on Clemmer's. I did another rewatch. And I like this movie. I gave this movie a 90. But in comparison to the other Nolan movies, I just never have it as high. 2 on Gooch's list. 4 on Ken Jack's. Joseph Coop Cooper.
I like Coop a lot.
Matthew McConaughey.
I like Coop a lot.
Fucking cool as fuck. Come on.
I don't think so.
He's awesome.
I think he's great. I think he's good in this movie. I don't think he's cool though.
He's awesome.
There's a character coming up who I think is cool. I don't think Matthew McConaughey is cool in Interstellar.
I think he's very cool. He's got like the perfect motivations. He's got the perfect amount of nihilism that like gets like dispelled throughout it. He's got I think a great revelation of the love concept, which I love.
Nothing cooler than abandoning your kids. Nothing cooler than that.
men were born on Earth. We weren't meant to die here.
Like he has so many great line deliveries like that, like perfectly, especially in that era of McConaughey, like lines so good. Damn, another Casey Affleck role. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, I think it's just I don't even know how to explain it. It's like a cowboy role in a space like exploration movie.
I think it's a great movie.
Man,
I just don't love this movie.
I'll have to do a rewatch to be fair. I haven't seen it in a while. Out of all of his movies, this one hit me the least.
It just doesn't flow for me like some of the other ones do.
Tenet hit me the least, I guess. This is the second least. I don't know.
There's just like it's something with whether when they take off to when they hit the worm. Like there's just a pace to it that never has hit right for me.
Same.
And again, I do like it, but I'm comparing it to other movies of his that are also like that's something with Nolan, some of Nolan's stuff is you're comparing.
Right.
So some filmography is like, well, that's his shit movie. Like, no, you're still talking about an amazing movie, Interstellar. So it is kind of unfair. But
to me, the stuff that you guys are lauding on Groves is what I like about Cooper. Like the masculine, no nerd energy guy. That's everything that makes the character of Cooper work, in my opinion. And I think it just works to a better degree, and a more distinctive degree with McConaughey in that than it does with Damon as Groves. And I think he's just so good. And he carries the movie in like a huge, huge way. So good.
Come on,
that's incredible. I get that.
That scene where he pones those teachers, saying it takes two numbers to measure my son's future, but only one number to measure the size of your own ass.
Yeah.
Come on.
He just crushes his kids.
I think Lithgow's better in the movie.
Lithgow's really good too.
I was thinking Matt Damon.
Or saying
Matt Damon. We might talk about Matt Damon soon. I don't know. I don't know where he is on these lists, but let's save that. But I think McConaughey is fantastic in it.
We're saying it's last year for Okra.
Yeah.
So every other person
for Okra.
The remaining four were all on our list. We all had the remaining four. The top four we all had. Number four. I think this is a significantly cooler character. 9 on Gooch's, 2 on Ken Jack's, 9 on Clemmer's, 7 on mine. Dom Cobb, Leonardo DiCaprio, Inception. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest performances. Just him in the bar with the Cillian Murphy character. Just the way he's wearing his suit and just talking. He's just so fucking cool. And you know what? It's kind of like we just said about what you just said about Coop or what we said about Leslie Groves. Like there is a level of like really like this is also when people talk about like Nolan being woke. Like he does make fucking dude rocks movies sometimes. And like Inception is a nerdy dude's rock movie. Like it really is. Like, but like the fact that it's this really just dorky, like dreams and this, and it, but you have this really slick, like James Bond kind of guy. It's just awesome. It's just such a great contrast. This movie is just incredible, and he is, it's one of my favorite Leo roles.
I love how tortured he is in it too. He's so good at just being like, and we see it again with Shutter Island, I guess, but like here it's better. He's just so haunted.
He doesn't want to be cool. That's like, right. That's the thing. It's like you want to be him, but then you don't, because he's just ruined.
Yeah.
And it gets like revealed to you over time, like why he's so tortured, and then he has to eventually confront it. And it's just like that could all come in together. I think it's so good. And on top of that, he is cool in spite of having one of the dumbest character names, I think, in all
Dom Cobb is a stupid name. Cool.
That is a stupid name.
Cobb is a cool last name.
It's a cool last name. Dom Cobb is not a cool name.
I kind of like that name.
No. I think Dom Cobb is a very stupid name.
I've seen this movie 100 times. Do they call him Dom at any point in that movie, or is it just always Cobb?
Cobb. It's a lot of Cobb.
That is a big Nolan. Like, I mean, Coop is Coop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Interstellar. That is a big, like, Nolan thing. Yeah.
And just screaming, Mal! Yeah. No, man, no.
God, he's good though. He's really good in this movie.
Yeah, he is. He's just next. It's a lot of crap that he is spewing at the audience too.
Yeah, a lot. It's all of nothing. Them. Yeah,
yeah, and it's but it all works. It's awesome. God, Inception's so fucking
so
cool.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Number three. I think this is like a 12 seed making the final four.
Wow.
I think we all have the person. But I didn't think the person would end up number three. Number three on Gooch is 12 on Ken Jack, 8 on Clemmer, 4 for me, Michael Caine, Alfred Pennyworth from the Dark Knight trilogy. Like number three.
That's hot. He is
the heart and soul of those. I mean, I guess Bale's in all three. There's a lot of people in all three, but he really is like, he's just the heart of it. And that's why it ends the way it does.
I was going to say, it ends with him. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like never wavered on my three, on my top five, and I probably could have had him higher than maybe Matt Damon. But like, he is just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's a blubbering idiot at the end.
Oh, let's calm down with idiot. Only respect for Alfred in this podcast.
It is like a weirdly important role, and you've seen how they fucked it up
crazy.
In other iterations of Batman.
Yeah, I would say Alfred usually do okay, to be fair.
Like, do you prefer him or Michael Goh, Clemmer?
I prefer Michael. Goh does a good job. I can say, like, he really does a nice job. He's just Michael Caine's Michael Caine, and also like he's also getting a Christopher Nolan, you know, work around him. But no, I mean, your heart the whole time is with Alfred. It's not with Batman. It's not with Bruce. It's with Alfred the entire all three movies, and of course it's Michael Caine. It's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
A ruby the size of a tangerine.
Mm-hmm. God,
you just did Batman you're doing Batman and Robin next with Robbie Fox, right?
Or in like soon. 5 or 6 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
It is the best part. We did a commentary with Coley and Trill and Tyler, Trill Withers, and I think Trill back in the day when we first got hired by Barth. We did it for Batman and Robin. When putting Alfred CDs when they're like helping him figure out like McGregor, it's so funny.
It's just porno, right?
McGregor's syndrome.
Remember too, the Michael Caine. One thing with Michael Caine here, he gives the "Some men want to watch the world burn" speech.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, like, that's so
most iconic lines in the entire.
It's transcended like, movie. It goes beyond the movie.
Great point.
Yeah.
He's so great.
Also,
I'm glad he's number three.
Why do we fall? So we can pick ourselves
another one.
Another one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Batman Begin.
I had a
Batman Begin.
Tweet. You ever see that?
One of the funniest fucking tweets of all time.
Him stuck up in that attic for years on end. Michael Caine. Poor guy.
Batman Begin.
Yeah. Number two. We all have this in our top five. This is probably the last interesting one because I think we all know what number one is. Number two for me, 2 for Clemmer, 3 for Kenjek, 5 for Gooch, Killian Murphy, J. Robert Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Elite performance. Like, on beyond elite performance. So fucking good. Plays off of everyone perfectly. And, like, just, like, a guy who deserved to have a role like this.
Yeah.
In Killian Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
And finally got like the chance and just fucking bats 4 for 4, 3 homers. Like, just unbelievable. Just crazy work.
Difficult too, because I think it's like you're playing a scientist, and like when we think of a scientist, it's typically kind of a boring thing, but like he's a person first, scientist second, which I think makes the character very interesting. Like, he's just like an arrogant prick that is also a genius, and he resonates more as a character, at least to me.
He's also playing the guy over 50 years.
Yeah.
and it always works. And part of it is because like Cillian Murphy is just kind of has this like ageless quality to him of sorts, but like I buy him as a 24-year-old in this. I buy him as a 70-year-old in this. He doesn't act the same throughout. He does age. This is just it's a masterclass. One of the greatest performances of the decade in any movie. A masterwork. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this. This is something that we'll have in our lives forever. This is one of the great roles of our lifetime.
Yeah. It's crazy how memeable all of Nolan's movies are too, because he's just another one. I mean, just him staring at the end of the movie, yeah. which amazing ending to a movie has become a meme. The how could it be both when he's explaining it at the chalkboard? That's become. Yeah. Paradoxical, yeah. It's like it's just so perfect. It's yeah, it's great. And then number one across the board, we all had a number one, Heath Ledger the Joker, mm-hmm. which is just a pinnacle. It's just unbelievable.
Another one of like said the great performances of our lifetimes. Man,
think about like you want to talk about expectations.
Holy shit! Yeah, he was up against the fucking wall.
Oh yeah,
and he just crushed it. Man, it was such a good performance.
You know what's there's a guy that I saw on Instagram. He's just the Joker every day. And he does an okay job. But a great way to show me how amazing he is in that role is almost every attempt to impersonate Heath Ledger Joker is the most laughable thing I've ever seen. Like, it's just like, no, that's the worst thing. That's now the new worst thing I've ever seen. Like, it's so perfect, and I don't think it's replicable. It's so creepy. The mouth movements and the tick. It's fascinating. Every time I see it, it blows me away.
It's just so unique. Before that, you'd never seen a character talk that way, act that way, walk that way. Like everything about it is so weird and one of a kind. Like, and it's all like the Heath Ledger and Nolan creating this character that we'd seen already so many times between Romero and then Jack Nicholson. Like we'd already seen in the comics, and for him to put this unique twist on it. That's genius level stuff.
Mm-hmm. The opening alone, like,
just, oh my god,
it's a truly horrifying character, by the way.
Yeah, horrifying,
like a truly horrifying.
And the thing, it's that crazy mix of like you want to like the character because it's like you're just captivated by it, but then you get this moment, you're like, what a horrific human being this person mm-hmm. is. Holy shit,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that scene that he shot himself, where he's like got the fake Batman tied up, and like the fact that Heath Ledger shot that, and it's like one of the scariest things I've seen in a comic book movie ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read the individual lists.
That guy, he's so scary.
Gooch. Gooch. Then I'll read our full list after. Gooch, the Joker, number one. Cooper, Interstellar 2. Alfred, number three, The Dark Knight. Eames, played by Tom Hardy,
he's good,
from Inception.
Yeah.
Great character.
I love him.
You like creativity, darling.
I love that character.
Yeah, very good. Oppenheimer from Oppenheimer. Louis Strauss, Oppenheimer. Robert Angier, The Prestige. Tars.
Let's go.
Tars is a great character. That's not a bad pick at all.
That's an Interstellar head right there.
I put R2-D2 as one of my favorite Star Wars characters. I like a good robot.
Yeah.
I like a good robot sidekick.
Dom Cobb, Inception, Dr. Mann, Matt Damon, Interstellar, Neil, Robert Pattinson, Tenet. I like Tenet more than some people do.
Yeah.
I kind of like
it. It grows on me every time I watch it.
Yeah. Senate Aide, played by Alden Ehrenreich, Oppenheimer. Yeah. That's a good pick.
But you didn't.
Nikola Tesla, David Bowie, The Prestige. That is a good pick. I like that as well. Catherine Barton from Tenet, Elizabeth Debicki, and then Roger Robb, Jason Clarke, Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It was great in that. Yeah.
I love him screaming.
Jack, the Joker.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger. Dom Cobb, Inception. Oppenheimer. Coop, Interstellar. Leonard Shelby, Memento. Louis Strauss, Oppenheimer. Dr. Mann, Matt Damon, Interstellar. Angier, The Prestige. Borden, The Prestige. Walter Finch, Robin Williams, Insomnia. Bruce Wayne, Dark Knight Trilogy. Alfred Pennyworth, Dark Knight Trilogy. Tom Hardy's character in Dunkirk. He also wrote The Enemy in Dunkirk. Visual enemy.
I do think, because you don't see the Germans just being horrifying throughout the entire movie as a character, but you never get to see them. I think it's just a brilliant use of characters plural, but it was like a character basically.
Yeah.
Bane, Tom Hardy.
I think Tom Hardy's Bane gets underappreciated.
Yeah. I have him way higher on my list.
Yeah, I like Bane a lot.
I love that they adapted the voice in the Harley Quinn cartoon as well. I think that's fair. I think that's very funny. I think that's a really good move on their part.
Born in the dark. I love it.
Clemmer, the Joker. 2, Oppenheimer. 3, The Bordens. 4, Bane. 5, Leslie Grove. Oppenheimer. Six Leonard, Shelby, Memento, Walter Finch, Insomnia, Alfred Pennyworth, Dark Knight Trilogy, Dom Cobb, Inception, Scarecrow, Killian Murphy, Batman Begins.
Yeah,
I thought about that.
Jim Gordon, Dark Knight Trilogy, George Mills, Barry Keoghan, Dunkirk, fell on the stairs, died, right?
That's him, right? Blind, yeah, and then...
Oh, I think blind, yeah, right.
Wait, Barry Keoghan was... he went blind and then died. Yeah, he had like a head trauma or something.
Because Mr. Dawson, Mark Rylance.
Killian Murphy did kill him.
And then, Mark Rylance, then he's a hero.
Dunkirk.
He's very good in that.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman, Prestige.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kitty Oppenheimer. And then my list... One, Joker, Dark Knight. Two, Oppenheimer. Three, Leslie Groves, Oppenheimer. Alfred, Dark Knight. Edward Teller, Oppenheimer. You've not another meme.
Mm-hmm. Till they build a bigger bomb.
I mean, great character. Louis Strauss, Oppenheimer. Dom Cobb, Inception. Kitty Oppenheimer. Roger Robb, Oppenheimer. Robbie Oppenheimer. Another great character, him with the fucking oranges. Bane, Dark Knight Rises, Leonard Shelby, Mento, Ernest Lawrence, Oppenheimer, The Bordens, Prestige. Shout out, like you said, what's his face? Who plays Lawrence in Oppenheimer?
You mentioned him. Fucking Black Hawk Down, 40 Days, 40 Nights, fucking...
Oh, Josh Hartnett.
My brain just wasn't working.
Yeah, you just turned mine off as well. Yeah.
And then lastly, 15, Albert Einstein, Oppenheimer, Tom Conti.
How many Oppenheimers do you have in your list? Eight? Nine?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. It is funny going through his movies, though. It's like there are some where it's like, I like all, but like Dunkirk. I didn't put anywhere in Dunkirk. Dunkirk is one of the best movies I've ever seen. But it's just like, Ken Jack. Sometimes it's just, that's just not.
That's what the case with a lot of his movies, at least in my opinion. I'm not like drawn in like, holy shit, what a great character this is. I'm like, this story is unbelievable. These visuals, the audio, like all this stuff is incredible. It's one of the best movies I've seen. Sometimes I walk away from a Nolan movie and I'm like, I don't remember a single character's name. And that's fine. And I still love the movie. And then I'll rewatch it and then you pick up on more of it.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, The Odyssey next week. Very excited. I would say it's second only to Dune, but like right there. And as the hype continues to grow, it's like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, did he do it again? I didn't want to like talk about it and like start to, but like, I've reading some stuff about like it being horror-ish. Like there's like horror elements in it
as well. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like, holy shit.
Well,
are you kidding me?
That little excerpt we saw with the Trojan horse thing. That was kind of scary.
It was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're all pretty excited. We'll be talking about it after we see it next week. Jealous you guys get to see it on the coolest. I did a comparison. I'm seeing it on a big screen, but it ain't Lincoln Square. Everything's bigger in Texas, except for they don't do fucking... We just don't have, like, giant IMAXs.
No.
It's, like, very bizarre. But that's okay, though. If I had never seen anything again in that movie, and Oppenheimer's the last one I saw, then you know what? Whatever, I'll rest.
You got to move back to the greatest city on earth, Jeff. I mean, that's just how it works.
I know. Now everyone here is busy boycotting Alamo.
Yeah.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, because of the digital. You got to order on your phone now.
I know. I hate it. I've gone. I've been very upset.
Yeah, it does suck a little bit. But I still like Alamo, so it's like whatever.
Me too, but I'm not happy.
But
about
I get it.
It.
I wouldn't.
And now they have to say at the end, they're like, "We realize how ironic it is. We're asking you to use your." It's like, well, that's kind of your whole. It's tough to make your. It's tough to make your bit anti phones forever, and then
now we got
to
use our phones.
It's like, I don't know. That's it. Thank you for watching. Like and subscribe. Thank you to Gooch, Ken, Jack, Clemmer. I'm Jeff Dillett. We'll talk to you next time.